910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hiring in the U.S. slowed last month, but for now anyway, President Trump's aggressive policies on trade and the trimming of the federal government workforce don't seem to have affected the jobs picture that much. U.S. employers added a solid 139,000 jobs to the workforce last month, better than forecast. President Trump and Elon Musk sparring publicly on social media in a spat that began over the size of the Trump budget. ABC's Rachel Scott says Musk has tweeted the president wouldn't have won without him.
He spent $200 million of his own money to help Trump and Republicans get elected, appearing at events with a chainsaw, promising to slash spending. But now the president says he didn't need Musk or his money to win.
I think I would have won. Susie would say I would have won Pennsylvania easily anyway.
And dismissing him as a disgruntled former employee.
Russia unleashing a new round of airstrikes on Ukraine overnight, retaliation for the drone attack on Russia's military aircraft. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Wisconsin State Assembly committee held a public hearing this week on legislation that would require a full, plain language explanation for proposed constitutional amendments and referendums appearing on the ballot. The bill would require amendments and referendums to include the date, full ballot text, a summary of the current law, an explanation of the change, and an explanation of what a yes or no vote would mean. It also reallocates the responsibility of providing that information from the state attorney general to the sponsors of the measure. Negotiations between Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and state Republicans over the next biennial budget appear to have broken down. In a statement, Governor Evers said he had agreed to compromise on some tax proposals in the hopes that Republicans would compromise on issues like child care and school funding. In his own statement, Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu claimed the governor's spending priorities were unaffordable for taxpayers. If no new budget is passed by June 30th, the current budget will stand until a new one is signed. Lake Hayward Beach Park in Sawyer County will play host to a kids' fishing derby this weekend. The fishing derby will take place on Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon on the lake, and area kids up to 15 years old are invited to participate. Registration for the event will begin at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday. Everyone who participates will earn a prize and receive some fishing gear, and additional prizes will be awarded for the largest fish caught in each age category. Bait for the fishing contest will be provided, and kids will be able to borrow gear if they don't have their own. A Rice Lake man accused of operating while intoxicated with his 4-year-old children in the vehicle has been sentenced to jail time. 25-year-old Austin Eggert entered guilty pleas to charges of possession of THC, criminal damage to property, and operating while intoxicated with a passenger younger than 16 in Barron County Circuit Court on Friday. He was sentenced to 35 days in jail and was fined over $1,500 on the OWI charge. His license was also revoked for 15 months, and he will serve 2 years of probation on the other charges. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
A homestand for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers begin a 12-game homestand tonight, their longest of the season, against the Padres. That's followed by the Braves next week, and then the second-place Cardinals. The crew coming off a day's rest after beating the Reds 9-1 on Wednesday. NFL. Aaron Rodgers will sign a 1-year deal to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Rodgers has kept in touch with their head coach.
Listen, I've talked to Mike Tomlin. Great dude. It was nice to go into the city. I'd never really spent any time in Pittsburgh than the few times we've played there. But yeah, I've enjoyed talking to Mike.
NBA Finals, Oshkosh North High School grad Tyrese Halliburton has done it again. A last-second shot to lead the Pacers to a win in the playoffs, 111-110 over the Thunder in Game 1 of the Finals.
Man, we just, we keep believing and we stay together. And it ain't over till it's over. It ain't over till it hits zero. And we just keep pushing. So, like I said, really proud of this group.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy with some scattered showers this morning. Gradual clearing by later this afternoon. Our high today, 72, with wind northeast at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 46. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms late tomorrow and tomorrow night. Our high tomorrow, 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, actor Mark Unger, and it's a Bar Band Friday night with Rocker filling in for his Maxine co-host, Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air. Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff, all coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy, busy show coming up today. Michelle Velasquez from Planned Parenthood Advocates is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news, among all the other things that are going on with the budget that's being kicked around in Washington. There are some backdoor efforts now to, yes, not a surprise, defund Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, not shocking.
Yeah, not shocking. So we're going to talk about that. And Planned Parenthood, by the way, and we will talk about this with Michelle, does offer things beyond just reproductive health care.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They do cancer screenings and breast cancer screenings and cervical cancer screenings and all kinds of things. So, again, Michelle Velasquez is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news. Friday, that means Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi award-winning Recombobulation Area, will be here after 10 o'clock. We're going to hold off on talking about the big fight. Fight.
Ooh, a good old-fashioned slap fast.
Yeah, between the president and his closest buddy.
The world's richest man.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that a little bit with Dan Schaefer. That will come up in hour number two. We will wrap things up as we always do with this. It shouldn't be a thing. Today, it's the Shrinky Dink edition. I just like saying that.
Shrinky Dink.
Shrinky Dink. It's one of those things.
The show was actually originally going to be called Shrinky Dink on Air.
Didn't fly through the panel.
Changed to the last second.
Yeah. That's the way things go. Yeah. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, along with potential guests that you think we should have on the show, mm-hmm. if you ever want to reach out to the show, super easy way to do it. You can email us at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, all one word, janesays@civicmedia.us. And don't forget, too, we are in the week one of our statewide Text to Win Scotty Summer Contest. So coming up after 11 o'clock with Tom Hartman, he's going to have a keyword for you that you need to text in via the Civic Media app only.
Yeah, that keyword will be delivered by
you and I.
That's right.
Yes, so be listening for Greg and I after 11 o'clock with that keyword for you to text in. You have an hour to text that in via the Civic Media app, and then you're in the running for either $100 cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets, and everyone who enters is in the drawing for the grand prize, too, a little getaway, and we pay your gas.
That is just like, love that part.
I know. It's great. Like Ashley in Wisconsin Rapids. She was a winner.
Nice.
Listening on WIRI.
Well, thank you very much for listening.
Appreciate that, Ashley, and congratulations. So that's coming up after 11 o'clock. Be listening for that keyword. It happens 4 times a day in the 7, 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours. Our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest through today and all next week.
Yes.
Wanted to start off by talking about some local wins. At least this is a win. Attorney General, and this is from Civic Media, our Civic Media News Department.
I've heard of them.
Lucas Hunt, doing a great job. Attorney General Josh Call wins court order against Trump. AmeriCorps programs, rather, will be restored.
That's fantastic.
Wisconsin Department of Justice released details. The administration has been ordered to restore programs and members of AmeriCorps. This is a nationwide program that helps address the needs of various communities, like helping veterans with therapeutic recreational activities. Again, a couple of years ago when I was at a different radio station and I did some longer feature stories and had an opportunity to talk to some of the groups that work with the VA, including a group that put on plays.
That's so cool.
Shakespearean plays.
Yeah.
Artwork. Guitars. Guitar lessons for veterans.
If anyone's out there listening right now and has an in with guitars for vets,
it's a great group.
Please contact us because they are a hard group to finagle, and I would love to have them on the show. But I apologize. But yes, that's the work that they do with vets alone, as well as other groups.
Yep,
it just.
Yeah, AmeriCorps.
This is a win.
Yeah, AmeriCorps also has recovery coaches helping people with substance abuse problems. The coalition established the Trump administration was unlawful when they dismantled AmeriCorps. Attorney General Josh Call calling for further action, saying, quote, "This decision is an important reprieve, not only for many programs supported by AmeriCorps affected by the Trump administration's sudden and unwarranted cuts, but also for the many communities that benefit from those programs. Congress should also step in and prevent the Trump administration from doing further damage to AmeriCorps," unquote. And there were a whole bunch of people that were working for AmeriCorps that just got blown out.
Yep. And this is another example, something we've spoken with Jim Santel about, of lawyers and judges stepping in and protecting the Constitution, protecting the people, protecting our programs. Where our elected officials are not only not stepping up to protect them, but actively working against them. So thank you, Josh Call. Thank you to all of them who are protecting our democracy.
Yeah. And especially, again, the judges that we talked about yesterday with Jim Santel. And speaking of Jim Santel, and I would imagine he will talk more about the Trump administration has been losing lots of court cases.
Yes.
Lots.
Yes.
And
yes.
Many of these are Trump-appointed judges. Sorry, but they are. And I'm sure Jim will have more about that tomorrow. He has a statewide show Saturdays across the network called Amicus, a Law Review, from 9 to 11. Great, great show.
Yes.
And you can also always go back and listen to his archives if you're not able. You know, you might be running around. People, it's a Saturday. People have things to do.
It's a great podcast to listen to because it is just, while you're driving, while you're exercising, he just is. It's so jam-packed with information, but it's also digestible to those who are not in the law. And he speaks like a law professor, but he has the love of what he talks about. So there's a certain sense of, like, you feel fired up when you listen to
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely.
It's just there's a positive energy. Even when he's talking about the darkest things, his energy gives me hope.
So check out Jim Santel. And again, if you can't listen to his show 9 to 11 across the network on Saturdays, you can always go to civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. Just click on shows and scroll down and you'll find Jim's show. And there's a whole bunch of archives there like you will find for all of our shows.
Yeah.
The other thing that we wanted to throw in here, because we were just talking about this week, earlier this week with Nathan Demming.
Yes.
Who is a filmmaker.
Yes, he is.
He's a native of Tomah, but he kind of bounces back between Wisconsin and California making movies. And we were talking about this film tax credit bill.
Yeah.
And it has passed. It's been approved.
In the assembly, correct?
In the assembly. Yeah. It's remarkable. We agree on this. Look, we can get things done in Wisconsin.
Investing in art can have an ROI. This is wonderful.
A bill to provide a film tax credit in Wisconsin and set up a state film office ready to be voted on by the Senate. After being approved by the Chamber Committee, Wisconsin Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers says that Wisconsin's lost out on a lot of opportunities because movie companies don't want to shoot here because of this lack of a film credit. And it, as it was explained to us by Nathan, if you say you're going to spend $5 million shooting a movie here, you'll get a refund on like 30% of that.
And that's great.
So it's not like we're paying outright to lure them here.
No.
They will get a break on the money that they intend to spend while shooting a movie here.
Yep. And other states, New York has a film office, Georgia has a film office, other states. I mean, it's just, I feel like it's a very simple investment from the state, from the government, to get over time a wonderful return. And also just, you know, they create jobs in the community, whether it's people working on set or just, you know, creating
support systems.
Support system, and also investing in the local economy, hotels, restaurants. If you have entertainment there, people are, you know, shoots done, people want to go out and have a drink, they're going to go to your bar. Like, it just feels like a win-win. Plus, it just feels cool to be like, hey, we have a film office, we want them here.
Well, and as you had mentioned when we were talking to Nathan on Wednesday, look at what Georgia has done. And how Atlanta has become like a second Hollywood.
Correct. Yes.
It really has.
Yes. You go to, you feel the presence of that Hollywood aspect when you're in Atlanta. And Europe, England has invested in Georgia as far as filming. They have a whole United States, essentially not franchise, but like another location here in America of their Pinewood Studios where all the Bond movies were filmed. So there is proof in the pudding that this works, and I'm happy that the Assembly passed this. Yeah. This makes me very, very excited.
Well, again, we'll see what happens when it goes over to the Senate.
Can we just have this moment, Jane? Embrace the win. Yes.
Win while we have it.
We're halfway there.
We're halfway there. I like that. Senate Bill 231 will allow companies to apply for a 30% credit equal to costs of salary or wages for Wisconsin residents working on the productions.
Yes.
So this is now ready for a vote by the full Senate. And credit to Joanne Krulutz. Krulutz, the wonderful Joanne Krulutz, also part of our news department for Civic Media. She just posted that, too, on our website. This is a good thing.
These are good things. These are good things. These make me happy. These make me excited to be in Wisconsin.
Are you feeling movie-ish?
I would totally
be a great character in a movie.
I would. I'd be amazing. I would also look. I thought about like emailing his name, Deming.
Nathan.
Thank you. Wow.
Sure.
Friday is here.
Yes.
But also just asking about what the aspects of producing a film is, because I'm a producer. I'm a producer here at Civic Media. I produce comedy shows. So that's sort of putting things together and making them run is kind of in my blood. And the aspect, the idea of producing movies has always interested me. So I kind of wanted to send him an email like, look, I'm not asking for a job. I already got one. Got that. But also just like, hey, what are the things? I know one of the things what you need to know is how to budget. They say that
absolutely.
If you want to get into movies, get a degree in accounting.
Economics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a great discussion. And I'm glad that so close to having that interview with him, this information comes out. That has to make him very happy. Also, someone like Civic Media's very own Pete Schwabba.
Yes.
Who I believe on our show came on last year and talked about the fact that there are people who just aren't making their films because they want to make them here, but they can't afford to do it. So maybe this program will help them.
I just see it as a win all the way around.
Agreed.
I really do.
Agreed.
Cassandra says, too, next up, funding education. Well,
one thing at a time.
I know, Cassandra, we hear you. I agree with you.
Maybe in the tax credits for movies.
We can slip in something for water and education and childcare.
Universal breakfast. Just put them in there.
Don't tell anyone. Little things. Okay. When we return, we're going to talk about something else that was slipped in to this budget that the House just passed.
Yeah.
If you didn't think that they were kind of heartless before, I think you will after we explain this cut.
Oh, God.
Not sure who's been calling for this, but we'll have all the details on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captate Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 9:30 news, Michelle Velasquez from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin will be joining us. Stay tuned for that. Right now, though, we're going to talk about something else, that all kinds of little hidden gems in this budget bill.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, Jim from Brookfield is on the line. Good morning, Jim. Thanks so much for joining us. What do you want to say?
I wanted to just circle back on the cuts to the AmeriCorps, which I just can't believe, you know, what we're facing these days. Just a personal story. My oldest daughter's graduated University of Minnesota, and she went out and wanted to D.C. She wanted to work in the D.C. area, got a job with AmeriCorps, working with public schools, helping these kids get back up to, you know, reading levels or whatnot, that they were a little behind because of COVID and working at home. She could have worked in Milwaukee, but she went out to D.C., put in a year's service there for AmeriCorps, and she helped public schools get them back up to standard levels after COVID. She really enjoyed that year. It was a very good learning experience. And she also got an incentive that could be used for further education. It was a very nice bonus. You know, it had to be used for further education and at certain schools.
Sure.
And these weren't Trump University schools. These were, you know, some Ivy Leagues, Wisconsin, whatnot. Long story short, her friends now that still work for AmeriCorps, they've been told they were going to be phased out. And this incentive, this bonus, is now in question. Now, how can the government go back on their word, you know, and, you know, pull this out, the rug literally out from under these kids, you know, that are there teaching, student teaching, serving their country? I just can't believe, you know, what we're facing these days, that not only would they end that program, but retroactively pull the rug out from, you know, this incentive, this bonus that my daughter earned going to the public schools there in D.C. every day for a year.
Well, and what's crazy about it, too, Jim, is that we need more teachers. We talk about this all the time, the lack of people going into the teaching industry. And now you have these people like your daughter who mm-hmm. want to do this. And now we're gonna penalize them, or as yeah. you say, rip away the incentive. It's yeah. it's completely at cross purposes, right?
Exactly, and you know she's taking in stride somewhat. She's now working for a private law firm out there in D.C. She used that year of service to, you know, get land a job out there, but she feels just sick about her friends that are still there with AmeriCorps that are being phased out, and you know her incentive is up in question. So. I mean, come on, Musk, Trump, whatever, you know, live up to the obligations and the commitments that have been made and try to look at the better good for this country.
That's yeah. a wonderful plea, Jim, we agree with you. I really appreciate that. But look at what they did to our farmers.
Yeah.
Look at what they did to our farmers, with farmers who had already invested mm-hmm. in improvement projects on their farms, whether it was solar or perhaps it had something to do with manure mitigation or whatever. Mm-hmm. They had invested this money with the promise that under the Inflation Reduction Act, yeah. I believe, that the government was going to pay them for it. And then Trump came in and left them all on the hook for that.
Well, I think that, unfortunately, and I don't like be the doomsayer or the Debbie Downer on this one, Jim, and everyone listening, I don't understand why any of us would hold them to any standard. As one, they said they were going to do this in the first place. But, of course, they're not going to pontificate, so we didn't know the extent of these cuts. And also, they show no signs of being beholden to the people and making good on promises, let alone trying to create a country that thrives under investment, opportunity, and just, you know, saying like we're here to make sure we are the best country in the world. They say it all the time. We're the best country on earth. That's ever. But they're constantly doing things that undermine that. And unfortunately, the story that, Jane, you want to talk about just is like one more. I mean, like, this is disgusting.
Yeah. Republicans want to ban pets from domestic violence shelters. So hidden in this budget bill, along with that little provision that prevented states and localities from doing any regulations on AI
for a decade. Yep.
This also is in there. They want to cut a proposal, a program that helps people who are in violent relationships bring their pets with them to shelters. Mm-hmm. So a lot of domestic abuse shelters won't take animals because they're not equipped to handle them.
Yeah.
The program known as PAWS, P-A-W-S, helps fill a gap. It's a budget of $3 million. That's nothing.
That is like the small staplers in an office in D.C. That is nothing. I'll look it up, what the percentage. It's like zero. It's going to be like 0.00001.
So insignificant.
But they want to do what with that, Jane?
They're going to get rid of it.
Of course.
The important part of this, and I volunteered at a battered women's shelter a number of years ago. If you're in an abusive relationship, you are highly unlikely to leave your pet behind because your abuser is going to harm your pet to get at you.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if you don't have a safe place to go with your pet, you're going to stay in this relationship.
Yeah.
And so this paltry $3 million for this program that helps shelters set up a place where people can bring their pets, they want to get rid of this. Because Diane Hendricks needs a tax cut.
Yep.
So do the Elines. They need a tax cut.
Yep.
So does Eric Hovde and Tim Michaels. Well, so those guys, they need a break, you guys.
And no matter how much they fight on social media, Elon needs a tax break, and he's going to get his tax break. And, yeah, Jim, you're talking about them taking away AmeriCorps or cutting AmeriCorps programs. But how do we lower the bar? Well, they just did it. Yeah. They just lowered the bar right here.
We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The U.S. Department of Justice sent a letter to the Wisconsin Elections Commission this week, accusing the commission of violating the Help America Vote Act. According to the letter, the commission has not offered a state-based administrative complaint procedure allowing residents to report violations they observe or experience while voting, based on a 2022 state court decision that ruled the commission cannot police itself. The letter also requests that the U.S. Election Assistance Commission withhold federal funding until the WEC comes into compliance with the HAVA. Democratic state lawmakers have introduced a package of bills seeking to send a message about resisting the Trump administration's agenda. Among the bills are one to withhold state payments to the federal government if the federal government withholds funding to the state, one to create guardrails on how the state submits personal information to the federal government, and one allowing the state to impose liens on federal properties in response to funding freezes. State Democrats say they already know the bills have nearly no chance of moving forward. Wisconsin Department of Transportation officials are reminding Superior area residents of construction work on U.S. Highway 53 that's scheduled to begin on Monday. Governor Tony Evers recently approved a nearly $4 million contract for the project, which will see pavement improvements on Highway 53 between 2nd Avenue East and Hewitt Avenue. The highway will remain mostly open to traffic during construction, with some single-lane closures on top of ramp closures for the Blatnick Bridge reconstruction project. Construction should wrap up by October. The Ashland County Sheriff's Office says their new canine unit helped them seize nearly 15 grams of methamphetamine during an arrest on just his second day of work. The new canine, named Doc, alerted officers to the potential presence of narcotics in a vehicle belonging to a 43-year-old Ashland resident last week. After searching the car, authorities also recovered THC, drug paraphernalia, and cash. The owner of the vehicle was arrested and charged with possession with intent to distribute, possession of illegally obtained prescription drugs, and bail jumping. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Comedian Sinbad will appear in Tyler Perry's upcoming film, Straw. This may not sound like major news, but it is when you factor in that the comedian suffered a debilitating stroke 5 years ago and was hospitalized for months. The former star of his own show called The Sinbad Show said he is thrilled for the opportunity to be back in front of the camera and said the road back has been difficult. According to the New York Post, the film also stars Sherry Shepherd and Taraji Henson. Director Perry says, "I know it's been really difficult for him, so giving him this opportunity made me feel amazing." The daughter of Tim McGraw and Faith Hill chose Pride Month to come out as queer. 28-year-old Gracie, the oldest of the couple's three daughters and a working actress, shared the news in an Instagram post on June 2nd. This is the first time the country music power duo's daughter has opened up about her sexuality. McGraw and Hill have yet to comment on the post, but in the past, Hill has expressed public support for the LGBTQ+ community. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with some scattered showers this morning. Gradual clearing by later this afternoon. Our high today, 72, with wind northeast at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 46. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms late tomorrow and tomorrow night. Our high tomorrow, 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Wild, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badgers and the NFL, will be with us to talk sports, and Peter Rapine of EPOM's World with a humorous week in review.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And if you have the Civic Media app, you can leave us a voice note as well. So you just record it on your phone, you send it in to us, and we can play it on the air. If you are busy, maybe you're driving right now and you want to pull over later and leave us a voice note, you can do that as well. Glad to be joined right now by Michelle Velasquez with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Good morning, Michelle. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Nice to see you again. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We were talking before you joined us about something else that they've kind of snuck into this big budget bill that the House has already passed. In this instance, they want to do away with funding for domestic abuse shelters to help women who will not leave their dangerous situation if they're not allowed to take their pets. So that whole $3 million, they're going to cut out of there because obviously that's too much money. There are other things that they are attempting to defund within this bill that aren't getting nearly as much attention as maybe they should, Michelle.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, the simplest way to talk about this bill is that it is the largest transfer of wealth from the most vulnerable people who need it, from the vital programs and services that we need to be investing in to make sure people are healthy and safe. And all of that is being transferred so that the richest people in this country can become even richer.
So what are your concerns as far as Planned Parenthood is concerned? What kinds of cuts and what are they going to do to that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a provision in this bill that would specifically defund Planned Parenthood. And what I mean by that is there's a provision in this bill that would make any nonprofit, family planning, sexual reproductive health care provider who also provides abortions prohibited from being reimbursed and participating as a Medicaid provider. So sometimes people think, you know, Planned Parenthood gets just sort of blocks of money from state or federal government, but that's actually not the case. We're a healthcare provider, just like any other, who sends out bills for reimbursement from, sometimes it's a private payer insurance, and other times it's a state Medicaid, which is an insurance coverage. So whether it's Badger Care or the family planning only services, Medicaid coverage, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin provides healthcare services, sends the bills to the insurance companies for coverage. And in many, many cases, most cases for Planned Parenthood's care, it's Medicaid, and then is reimbursed for those health services. And what this bill does is prohibit Planned Parenthood from being a Medicaid healthcare provider because it also provides abortion. So it is sort of a backdoor way to make abortion less accessible. It's not an outright ban, but it would essentially make the largest provider of both family planning and abortion care unable to participate as a Medicaid provider. And it takes away healthcare from people who use Planned Parenthood for all sorts of things: contraception, vasectomies, breast and cervical cancer screenings, gender affirming care. So that is what this bill does, in addition to defunding Medicaid and essentially kicking off. I've heard estimates of around 11 to 15 million people would lose coverage under this bill.
Yeah, again, this isn't a direct assault on Planned Parenthood, even though they've been trying to kill it for decades. This is essentially a backdoor way to kill Planned Parenthood, which is what they want to do. And I think too, Michelle, I think there is, people have the wrong idea, because you had mentioned you offer so many other services beyond just abortion care. And in a lot of instances, and in many neighborhoods, I would think that for some of this stuff, Planned Parenthood is the only provider that people can get to.
That's absolutely right. I mean, there are, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has 21 locations across the state of Wisconsin. As we see other health systems leave neighborhoods or leave some of the rural parts of the state, Planned Parenthood has really been there to step in and fill those gaps. It is a safety net healthcare provider. Oftentimes it is the sort of entryway for many people into bigger healthcare systems. Certain health issues are detected at like a wellness visit, for example, and then people get connected to care. Cancer screenings are done and then they're connected to care. Somebody has a positive pregnancy test and they want to continue with that pregnancy. Planned Parenthood is there to help connect them and make sure they get that prenatal care that they need. And so it's really just a part of the larger healthcare sort of tapestry of the state of Wisconsin. And frankly, I think that, you know, without it being able to participate in Medicaid, that would, you know, result in the closure of health centers. Absolutely.
If you're just joining us, we have Michelle Velasquez, who is the Chief Strategy Officer for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. And Michelle, one of the things that we like to do here is, and I want to really to endorse this for the people listening right now, is sharing what you know as you're speaking on this topic, is tell your friends about what's going on. Because one of the things we're seeing with this bill going through Washington are people realizing, and some of them are elected officials who just voted on it, saying, oh, no, wait, what? That's in the, no, we can't do that. And getting the word out to people, and what are you doing as an organization to like really press it? Because as Jane has said, they've been trying to kill Planned Parenthood for decades. And we've been talking about for a long time that it's not just abortion care and access. It's all of these other things. What is the campaign to get out there? Is it phone calls, knocking on doors? How are people getting made aware of this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, right now with all of the different things happening in the news every single day, it is really hard to sort of break through because there's always something new happening. And I was listening to a podcast earlier this morning and people do not like this bill, but there's also a lot of people who don't know about this bill or what's in it. And to your point, we have elected officials who are saying, oh, I didn't know that was in there. Their job is to know what is in this bill and how it affects their constituents. So Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin started phone banking. People can go to the website, ppawi.org, to volunteer, get involved, just to let people know what is going on. Right now, this bill is in the Senate. So if people want to take action, it's as simple as calling your senator. So in Wisconsin, you can call Senator Tammy Baldwin and thank her because she has stood up for Planned Parenthood. She has stood up for people maintaining access to healthcare. They can call Senator Ron Johnson and tell him, no, I don't want you to vote for this bill. You know, he's saying he's going to vote no, not for the same reasons that we would want him to vote no, but it's really important that people make their voice heard and tell Senator Ron Johnson, tell his office, why you are against this bill, why Medicaid access, healthcare, affordable healthcare access, food share. We didn't even talk about the reduction, the huge reductions in access to food share benefits. And so that is one way for people to get involved. And then tell your family, your friends, your neighbors, your communities, what is in this bill and how it is going to impact maybe yourself or people you know. But most people want their family and friends to have access to healthcare. They want it to be quality, affordable healthcare, and they want it to be in their communities. This bill really takes that away for not just Planned Parenthood, but by reducing the number of people who would be able to participate in Medicaid and have that coverage.
If you are not certain where to get the numbers for Senator Tammy Baldwin or perhaps Ron Johnson, just go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. Really useful website. All you have to do is enter your address and click that in, and all the phone numbers and all the contact information for all of your elected officials will show up. And we've talked to a lot of lawmakers, too, Michelle, in the past, who have said, if, you know, if they don't hear from us, then they think that we go along with them and we think this is fine. They need to know that, no, this isn't fine and I don't want you to do this, whether or not Ron Johnson's going to listen to you or not, because he's probably not going to. And I also want to talk, and you had mentioned this briefly, about the number of men who use Planned Parenthood. I think it's much higher than people realize.
Yeah, you know, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but certainly Planned Parenthood provides care not just to women, but to men as well, and people across the gender spectrum of all identities. And it does so in a compassionate, judgment-free way. Gender-affirming care is a specific type of healthcare that is really under attack right now. And Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has continued to provide that care. And it will continue to do so no matter what. And, you know, in the advocacy space, these are the types of issues that Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin really organizes around all year round to make sure that people have access to that full spectrum of care. And by taking Planned Parenthood out of the Medicaid as a participating healthcare provider in Wisconsin means that up to, you know, somewhere around 50,000 people could lose access to its services. That's how many people Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has seen on average over the last few years. Sometimes it has been upwards of 60,000 separate individuals. So that is a lot of people potentially losing their main source of healthcare.
I'm gonna go back and say it again. Share what you know, everybody. This is like these. So I know that as you said, Michelle, there's so much going on, and the internet's on fire about two guys fighting over social media. And while that's entertaining, that is a squirrel compared to what's happening right now in this conversation. And these are the things we need to be talking. Fine, you want to talk about them fighting? That's great. But also follow up with, did you know that this bill also is going to take another piece of healthcare away from Medicaid? Because they just can, and we have congressmen who admittedly did not read this, so it is important to get a hold of them. It is important to talk to your friends and family and share this information. Michelle, there will be in our show notes a link to the organization to let people know where they can go to find out more information on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. And, you know, this bill right now is with the Senate, so that's why I was talking about calling Tammy Baldwin to thank her. And call Senator Ron Johnson to tell him that you know, do not want him to vote yes on this bill. The provisions you might want to get taken out, for example, the defunding of Planned Parenthood provision, and pay attention because this bill may end up going back to the House. And if it goes back to the House, then we're talking about your representatives, your congressional House of Representatives. And so you should be able to see how they voted.
Yep.
It will be no surprise that all of the Republicans, from Wisconsin voted yes for this bill. And there's still opportunity to call them and tell them what you think of it, particularly because if there are markups from the Senate, this will go back to the House.
Yeah, I don't know that this is a done deal yet. This could be bouncing back and forth for quite a while, so we'll have to see what happens with that. You also mentioned volunteers. So Planned Parenthood does still use volunteers if you would like to get involved. You can also go to your website.
Absolutely. Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin has phone banking going on. We have tabling at various festivals this month in June for Pride and Juneteenth. And at those events, we will be talking to people in those communities attending about what is going on with this bill. So absolutely great way to get engaged.
We will include those all in the show notes, all of those links. Michelle Velasquez, the Chief Strategy Officer for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Thank you so much for your time, Michelle. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise. Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed two election bills May 2nd, one of which includes provisions for poll workers to challenge the citizenship of voters in the polling place, a ban on ranked choice voting, and a higher bar for third parties. Among several new provisions, House File 954 authorizes state election officials to access federal agency databases and gives local election officials authority to challenge citizenship of a registered voter at the polls. A recent presidential executive order now allows access to those databases. If a voter is not able to provide documentation at the polls, they would be forced to use a provisional ballot. Only days before the 2024 election, the Secretary of State's office challenged the eligibility of over 2,100 registered voters. Most were naturalized citizens or data errors, while 277 were registered non-citizens. Of those, only 35 voted out of 1.7 million ballots cast. Pro-voter groups argue such mass challenges intimidate legitimate naturalized citizens from voting. Two provisions in 954 attempt to protect major party power. It bans ranked choice voting for any election in Iowa and raises the bar for third parties to field candidates. Third parties now need to garner 2% of the vote in three consecutive elections to qualify for the ballot. We have more on HF 954 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Thank you for being a friend.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. The Brewers are home for a long homestand. I think it's 12 games.
Yeah, and I'm going to go to one of them.
You're going to go. Mm-hmm. They are playing tonight. Our broadcast starts at 6:35 as the crew host the Padres. You can listen to the game on terrestrial radio. It does not stream. So if you want to listen to the game tonight, catch it on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls near Butternut. And WBZH in Hayward. The crew hosting the Padres. Our broadcast starts tonight at 6:35.
I need a different name for. I need a different way of saying Butternut. Because we have your other favorite place,
Amory.
Amory.
We'll work on it.
Yeah.
Butternut is my newest place. My newest favorite place I've never been yet.
All right.
Yet.
Rumors abound.
About a potential road trip. Possibly. Once we get the okay on that, we'll share all the details.
Yeah.
But hopefully soon we'll let you know if we're going to be hitting the road, taking Matt Nair on air on the road.
Matt Nair on the road.
I wanted to spend a little time talking about this, and we've talked to Matic, Milwaukee yes. Area Animal Domestic Control, numerous times over the last year, and now this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Wisconsin Humane Society is at crisis level capacity, so they have dropped their dog adoption fees. Again, Matic has had this problem in Milwaukee. Yes. Now the Wisconsin Humane Society, I know Hawes in Waukesha County has had the same problem. They just have too many dogs.
Yeah.
And it's bad for the animals to be in these really crowded conditions.
Yeah.
Just think of the noise factor. And if you have a pet who gets anxious, think about 100 dogs being in that constant state of hype because they're too close together and there's too many of them.
Yeah.
So now is a really good time. It's summertime. School's out.
It's for summer.
What a wonderful time to adopt a dog.
I mean, I hope my wife isn't listening right now, but I would love a second dog, but not right now.
Maybelle needs a friend.
Everyone get on my side on this one.
Calvin, you agree that Maybelle needs a friend, right? I mean, she's been alone this whole time.
Alone?
Two dogs is a lot of work.
Thank you.
It adds a lot. That being said,
God,
I really think my dogs appreciate each other a lot.
Okay.
They keep each other company.
I'm going to ask a really quick question, and we'll get back to the topic because I agree, especially right now. Calvin, how far apart were your dogs? You had one dog and then you had a second dog. Was it like, you know, within a year or two, or did you wait like 5 years and got another dog?
I will give you that. I think Willie is 8 and Dolly might be getting close to 4, either 3 or 4.
Okay. So we'll give you another year.
Oh, I don't think it's going to. No. The Bach family household will have a second dog in the next year.
Oh, easily. Awesome. Well, you can also get another dog. Mm-hmm. You can get your first dog. Really, this is a great time to adopt a dog. And if you don't want to adopt, you can foster.
You can foster. And I know I believe with Matic, and I can't speak to Hawes as well as the Humane Society, but they do programs where you can take them home for a weekend.
Yes.
See if they are a good fit with your home, with your family.
You get to have a little trial run.
Yeah, because it's, you know, that was one of the weird things when we got a dog, and I knew that we weren't going to give her up, but people do give them up because they can't handle the responsibility.
Sometimes they have to move.
Things change.
Sometimes they have to move, or you lose your apartment, and it's tough if you're a renter, especially being able to keep a pet. And you're right. I'm sure they deal with all kinds of really painful surrenders.
Yeah. So it's something to really think about. But if you've been thinking about getting a dog, I would really.
No better time than now.
Yep. And all of those Humane Society, Matic, and Hawes, they'll all be on the show notes. So you can reach out to whomever's closest.
Yep.
And just start with a question about getting one. And I think fostering
is a really great way to go. And that helps the shelter as well.
Yeah.
That takes some of the burden off of them. It's really good for the animal to get out of that kind of hyper situation with all these other animals. And again, with the Wisconsin Humane Society, their adoption fees typically range from $199 to $299. Now it's $75 through June 11th.
And that includes...
That's it.
The stuff.
That's it. And they've got their shots, and they've got, I believe they are chipped.
And they're spayed and neutered.
So all of that's taken care of. $75 is a deal.
Yeah.
It's a great deal.
Yeah. I think that, the next dog we get is going to definitely be rescued. And this is purely a financial thing. When we got our dog, it was not a rescue.
Right.
And we paid money for it. And we went to, there's a rescue at the farmer's market in Kenosha. And we were like, how much is it? I was expecting to hear this astronomical price, like $450 with everything. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So, yeah. All those organizations, their information will be in the show notes, and you can find out more. But yeah, and I would say, yeah, foster. Start with fostering.
Start with fostering. If you've never had a pet and you're not sure about it, do a foster.
You'll probably keep it, though.
You'll probably keep it. Yes. Humane Society, again, has almost 400 dogs.
That is insane.
So Wisconsin Humane Society is at a crisis level. So is Matic, Milwaukee Area Animal Domestic Control, and Hawes, Humane Animal Welfare of Waukesha County. Mm-hmm. Like Greg said, we'll have links in our show notes.
Yeah.
Get a friend. Have a friend for the summer.
Or as my wife says, get a friend for your friend.
That works too. News is coming up next, and then Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area, Civic Media's political editor. That's all on the way. Fight, fight, fight. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The country's latest job snapshot shows an additional 139,000 jobs added to the U.S. economy in the month of May, slightly better than economists had expected, even with uncertainty about current government policies. Here's ABC News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
We have a resilient job market continuing to defy expectations despite all the uncertainty coming out of the White House in terms of tariff policy, immigration policy, but it does show us that the job market is gradually slowing down. Businesses are saying, look, we can't foresee the future as clearly as we thought we could months ago, which could impact their hiring decisions.
The world watching in real time, the breakup from President Trump and Elon Musk, both angrily posting about each other on social media in a feud that began when Musk criticized the president's spending bill. Russian missiles and drones striking across Ukraine, leaving four dead, dozens hurt. The retaliatory aerial attacks among the largest in the war. This is ABC News.